Well, in productive struggle, the goal here is to encounter those setbacks, because we know we're going to have them, encounter those obstacles, let students know they're coming, but give them the opportunity to dive in and meet that challenge head on.
Hello there, my name is Monica Burns, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. I'm a former New York City public school teacher and started the Easy EdTech Podcast in 2019 to share my favorite tips, tricks, and strategies for technology integration. You'll hear stories from my time in the classroom, the work I do now with schools and districts, and my travels to different EdTech events. Each episode is designed to give you ideas you can try yourself, share with a colleague, or bookmark for later in the school year. So don't forget to head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. If you're listening to this episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, or another podcast player, you'll see the show notes link in the description too. This episode is sponsored by my Etsy store. Did you know that I have an Etsy store full of printables? If you're listening in November, make sure to check out all of my Thanksgiving and fall activities and games for your classroom. You can print them out or use the PDF files alongside your favorite EdTech tool. Head to Etsy.com, ETSY.com, and search for Class Tech Tips, or use the link in the show notes and podcast description to explore the new items I've created. This week's episode is titled, What Productive Struggle Looks Like When Students Use Technology. And I know you're going to get a lot out of this conversation with educator and author Peg Grafflener. You'll hear us mention her book, Ready to Learn, as well as her recent Edutopia article that is all about a topic we encounter daily, productive struggle. We'll talk today about what it can look like in every content area, from English language arts to physical education, and how productive struggle connects to classroom technology integration. Let's dive into the conversation. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to chat with you today. And before we jump into all things productive struggle, I'm hoping, Peg, you can share a little bit about your work, your background, what your role in education is, and kind of what your day-to-day looks like for listeners.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, my name is Peg Grafflener. I'm an instructional coach and reading specialist at Ronald Reagan College Preparatory High School in Milwaukee. And I've been in education about 30 years or so, which, where did that time go? But I've been instructional coach for 8 years. So to give you an idea of what the day might look like, and first of all, and I want to be real clear on this, I don't have students anymore. I don't have a roster, teacher of record. I work with teachers. So I'm able to collaborate with them in embedding literacy into their lessons without disrupting the classroom objectives. And that's very important. As an instructional coach, the last thing you want is to put more on a teacher's plate. My job is to take it off the plate. So as an example, my day might look like in the morning, I might go into Phi-Ed. Recently, our Phi-Ed teacher was teaching Ultimate Frisbee. Well, I don't know if you knew this, but Ultimate Frisbee was pushing to become an Olympic sport. So I got this great article on it, brought it into Phi-Ed. Students, we jigsawed the article, and I asked them to find the main idea, details, and to write a summary. And what was really important about that is to show students writing is not just the work of English, the work of social studies. It encompasses all of us all day. So again, what is that teacher already doing where I can enhance as opposed to something else? I might be in a science class where we're working on a cause-effect and offering sentence stems to help students in that cause-effect. Or I might be in a music class focusing on compare and contrast among composers. And if you notice, I did not, like I said, choose the traditional English classes to share with you or the traditional social class, social studies. It's really important that we focus on skill building and really important that we focus on all of our content, not just, well, I'm going to air quote here, the four core. As we know, there's so much more. So that might be a typical day.
Well, I love those cross-curricular connections, the physical education connection, the science connection, and it leads us into what we'll talk about today, which, as you mentioned, really goes across different content areas and different subject areas. And today we're talking about productive struggle. And before we bring technology into the conversation, right, or that ed tech piece, can you help us unpack that term productive struggle?
Sure. When I think of productive struggle, I'm thinking of giving students the opportunity to encounter setbacks and obstacles. And when they do encounter those, what do they look like? Mm-hmm. So as an example, we'll have students that will get an obstacle or encounter a setback. Do they become so frustrated that they give up? And we've seen students do that, right? The head goes down on the desk, or they might even get up and, you know, the classic, can I use the restroom? We know what that means. Well, in productive struggle, the goal here is to encounter those setbacks, because we know we're going to have them, encounter those obstacles, let students know they're coming, but give them the opportunity to dive in and meet that challenge head on. You know, think about it just ourselves for a minute. Let's use an example. You woke up this morning and your faucet wasn't working. Well, you could call a plumber, and that's going to cost you several hundred dollars just to have someone walk in the door. Or you could go to YouTube, which is what a lot of us do now, and you could try and fix it yourself. And if you're able to do that, imagine your empowerment. You're ready to dive into another challenge. Well, give our students that same kind of opportunity. Yes, you're working on this math formula. It's not working. I mean, it's not going according to the way you would hope. You can't get to that perfect answer, the right answer. Well, what resources are available? Your teacher is one. Your peers, that's another resource. What strategies have you used already? Those are all resources. So giving students the opportunity to say, okay, the work is going to be hard, and I'm going to talk about that later. The work is going to be challenging. You will encounter a setback. You will encounter an obstacle. But what does the process look like? You know, we focus a lot on that end goal. Of course we do, because that's what has to be graded. I get that. But we need to slow down a little bit and look at the process. Again, when you were focusing on your sink and trying to fix the faucet, you didn't keep doing the same thing over again because you knew it wasn't working. You learned a lot of things along the way. So if the faucet does decide not to work again, you're prepared, you're ready, or at least you know what strategies not to use. So I think it's the same with our students. Let's give them, I mean, let's be honest and tell them this is going to be hard work. You know, we spend a lot of time saying things like, oh, this is so easy. You'll have no problem understanding this. We're doing a disservice. Let's tell them the work is going to be tough. You're going to get stuck, and that's okay. What strategies, what resources do you have to help you get through that? That's productive struggle to me.
And I love the transparency that you put there. Yeah. Just that idea that, you know, this is not a secret that things are hard, right? We talk about it. We talk about it throughout the process, right? And we celebrate the process as we go along with students.
And, you know, with that process, I'm a big believer in reflection. We usually end up reflecting at the end of the lesson, at the end of the unit. Do we need to rethink that? Should we be reflecting all the way through that process so the student can say, wow, this part was really hard for me. That's where I encountered that setback. But I didn't give up. I went and grabbed a resource. I asked my teacher for help. I went and joined this group, small group over here, and they helped me. So again, that feeling that I can do it, and when I'm able to do it, that feeling of empowerment that, hey, I'm willing to challenge myself now to something else.
And just that idea that these pieces could be embedded throughout the process,
right,
and that they're acknowledged and celebrated. And it's something that is, you know, it happens, right? It happens in all the things that we do inside and outside of the classroom. And just that, you know, I agree with you that it can be such a disservice to students if we're focusing simply on the final product and not looking at all of the big wins as well as those setbacks, right, that might happen along the way. And, you know, as we think today about productive struggle and the connection
to classroom technology. I'm really excited to jump into this idea of productive struggle alongside tech in the classroom. What are some of the struggles you see students or even teachers facing as they're interacting with different digital tools?
So first of all, I think we often assume that a lot of our students, if not all of our students, and a lot of our younger teachers are digital natives. We have to get rid of that. Not everybody is comfortable with tech. And I remember years ago when I taught a skills class and the librarian bought Kindles for all of my students because she thought they would enjoy holding that Kindle. And actually, they wanted to go back to the book. They wanted to physically turn the page. They wanted to see how much they had read as opposed to seeing the percentage. Yeah. So it's one of those kinds of things. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, we have to remember this. Sometimes our students, again, are going to encounter a setback or an obstacle with that new piece of technology, learning that new software, whatever that may be. We have to acknowledge that. We cannot just, again, give our students a piece of tech and say, well, go figure it out. I'm all for exploring. I really am. But we have to also let them know, I hear you. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right. This is difficult. And that new software you're learning or using technology to do some research, that might be difficult too. We have to acknowledge that for students and let them know that they need, if they need that time, extra time, they need that extra space, so be it. And again, what resources are available for them. We can't use it, and I know you know this, Dr. Monica, we can't use tech for the sake of tech's sake.
Right.
Tech is meant to enhance. And if tech is not enhancing our lesson, or if tech is not part of the purpose of our lesson, then it doesn't really have a place. But we have to give students that time, that space, that opportunity. Again, letting them know the work is going to be hard. And technology, while here to enhance, yeah, you might get frustrated with that too. Again, what are the resources available to help you? And I would say the exact same thing. As students are working on that technology, what processes can they talk about? What setbacks have they encountered that didn't work? What obstacles have they encountered that they were able to overcome? So again, giving students that opportunity to have that conversation and use tech the way it's meant to be used.
Yeah. And just, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about some of those frustrations, you know, we've all encountered, right? Or those roadblocks, right? That we've encountered. You know, I don't want to throw it all the way back to trying to save something to a floppy disk and then 2 days later it not being there, right? But that, you know, that's an early frustrational memory for me, at least. But, you know, for students who are in a space and they might even see like a student next to them that is flying through, knows every button, anticipates what's going to happen next. And maybe they haven't had similar experiences or they're just not kind of problem solving in that same way. You know, I absolutely agree that it can be, you know, so challenging for students and having that level of transparency, those pauses, the reflections, the how did you figure that out celebrations are such an important thing that, you know, is easy to keep moving, especially when you're in a techie environment.
Mm-hmm. And I think you bring up such a great point. So that student who is getting it and who is, you know, catching on more quickly, that student is a resource.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think, and I don't know if we do a good enough job of saying to students, let's point out our resources. I'm here for you. Your fellow students are here for you. You know, what strategies have you used? Again, what is here for you that you can use as opposed to shutting down? Boy, we want to avoid that at all costs, all costs.
Yeah. And one of the pieces, and as you were thinking, you mentioned the resources I was thinking of too. I know I've been on the road a little bit more the past few weeks as we're recording this in November. And it's been, you know, part of my conversations, I think I'm leaning in a little bit more to this idea of modeling, right? For students as well, right? We, and I'm sure, you know, with your background, you've had the same experience, right? You know, we pick up a picture book for students, right? And we are thinking aloud and showing how we're working through the text, right? It's something that we're doing so automatically, but it's something that we have an opportunity to do as well, right? If we're clicking a button as we're showing off something for students and it's not quite working, or maybe it is working, but we're going to talk through the, and, you know, the frustration kids might see, you know, so, you know, I think of that as one way to set up students for success in spaces, right? To model right. that productive struggle when using technology. And, you know, how can teachers, you know, set up kids for success and really help them understand that a task might be tough or mm-hmm. include, you know, different obstacles along the way?
And I think during the pandemic, and this is just my take on it, we worked on social emotional skills a lot, which remains so critical. Mm-hmm. But I think with academics, I don't want to say we lowered our standards as educators, but there was a lot going on, let's face yeah. it. Mm-hmm. And now we're trying to get students back into it and letting them know, again, they're not alone, for sure, but it's going to be tough. Mm-hmm. So let's work together to move forward on that. Technology is a part of that, absolutely.
And so as you're kind of thinking through about these different task. I know you mm-hmm. had some great suggestions in your article for Edutopia that I mentioned in the intro and will link out to for everyone to see. People who listen to the blog regularly know I give lots of Edutopia shout outs. It's one of my favorite resources and I've been connected with them for a long time. So is there are there suggestions that we can think about, you know, that can really help maybe apply to digital tools, maybe thinking more broadly to really set up everyone in a learning environment for success?
Absolutely. I'm going to take the four suggestions that I used from that Edutopia article, and let's talk about them a little bit. So the first one, create that vigorous learning intention and scaffold of success criteria. And you'll notice I use the word vigorous, not rigorous. And here's why. Rigorous comes from the Latin word rigor mortis, which means stiff and of death. I don't need my learning intention to be stiff. I need my learning intention to be empowering and engaging. But in that learning intention, if I am working, if I'm focusing on technology, it needs to be there. Let students know that that's an important part of that learning intention. And then when you're writing your scaffolded success criteria, the reason it's scaffolded is so students can self-assess. Mm-hmm. So let's say there's a criteria in there that does require technology, the use of technology. And let's say a student is not able to quite master that yet. Okay, the student then can self-assess, say, you know, I need to slow down, go to their resources. And again, instead of getting frustrated and giving up, look at this as a little obstacle, right, that I need to get through. So my learning intention, vigorous learning intention, my scaffolded success criteria, as you're using technology, make technology part of that LI and SC. And as we had said earlier, make it purposeful. Don't throw in tech for the sake of tech's sake. The second thing, eliminate the word failure. Now, I know many of us have done this already, but in technology, I think we have to be really aware of that. So I didn't meet the intended outcome when using this piece of technology or software, whatever the case mm-hmm. might be. Does that mean I failed? Not necessarily. What it means is it just didn't work for this. Could it work for something else? So again, when we talk about the word failure, which, you know, here's where I get frustrated with that. We say to students, failure is not an option. We've heard that, right? Yeah. I mean, there are books mm-hmm. written about that. Mm-hmm. Failure is definitely an option. It sure is. But it's got such a negative connotation that I really want our listeners to, again, eliminate that and talk about a setback, talk about an obstacle. When our students hear the word failure, oh, they're done. I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to learn. I don't get it. An obstacle or a setback? Okay, I'm just not there yet. I'm going to keep plugging away at this, whether it's learning that new piece of software, or as I said earlier, I need my technology because I'm doing some research mm-hmm. and it's not Chromebook's just not working the way I want it to. I can't find the research I want, whatever the case may be. It's a setback. It's not a failure. I continue to move forward in all the things that I've learned and the strategies I know not to employ next time. Mm-hmm. Be transparent. Let students know the work is going to be tough. Be honest. And with that technology too, I encourage, as you said earlier, begin with the routines and systems associated with the technology. What is the expectation you have for that? What is it that, you know, in modeling, as you had said earlier, we're a community of learners. We need to understand that technology, the importance and value of technology, and why it's meant to enhance the work. It is not the work. It is meant to enhance our work. Again, you're confident that they will overcome that setback and overcome that obstacle. It may take a while, and that's okay. And then finally, give students time and space to be successful. And that's what we had talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. In learning anything new, as you mentioned in your example, you know, I have the student over here. Ooh, that student is getting it right away. Over here, I need extra time. Mm-hmm. We need that extra time. All of us do. And I think especially now, I'm sure you feel this way sometimes. I know I do. I know our students do. That treadmill that just doesn't slow down. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So maybe this technology, the ability to learn, like I said, something new, let's pause a little bit. But the key is, as they're learning it, that's where those reflection pieces come in. That's where that process comes in. The modeling, the opportunity to have conversations. Why isn't it working? Or how do I need to use it? And then finally, space. And space can be just about anything. Flexible seating. Do we need to move out of the classroom into a different environment? Don't you find sometimes that when you're working on something, oh, it's not going the way you want? Mm-hmm. Even getting up, moving to another space, getting a glass of water and coming back, you have a whole new mindset. Could that help? So students, again, we're working on something brand new. Let's do it out in the courtyard, or let's go over to the library today. Let's get out of our classroom. Maybe that'll help. These little things, I think, can make a big difference.
Yeah. And I agree with you with just this, you know, opportunity to lean into places where kids might have had experience before with technology, right? Really giving those opportunities for reflection so that mm-hmm. they can talk about the process and those pauses, right? That we know are so important when students may get a little frustrated or a little overwhelmed, right? That's a different kind of skill than we think about as opposed to just content area skills that is so transferable for students in different learning environments. And so, you know, I know that listeners have had experiences probably themselves, right? Where yes. that productive struggle, maybe today as they're listening to it, depending on the time of day, they've already had a moment, right? And if they are looking to try out strategies in their learning environment, they're mm-hmm. looking for just kind of a quick way to get started or to think about putting something into practice, you know, tomorrow in the next few mm-hmm. days, what is something that they could try out right away?
Well, my first recommendation is always that vigorous learning intention and scaffolded success criteria, because to me, that is a cornerstone. Actually, I'll rephrase, it is the foundation of a great mm-hmm. lesson. So making sure that's written, again, clearly student-friendly language, but giving students the opportunity to ask and analyze, to ask questions about that learning intention. So when we are including technology in our learning intention, the student actually has the opportunity to raise their hand and say, I'm not understanding what we're supposed to do there. And that's where your modeling comes in. Mm-hmm. Or this isn't making sense to me. Or go ahead and say to the students, why don't we paraphrase this? Put this in your own words. Make it clear to you. So again, students know what they are to know it and be able to do. And the second thing is the opportunity to reflect. Like I said, I remember when I had my English class and, you know, I would teach, let's say, Romeo and Juliet. Well, at the end of the lesson, we reflected. Why didn't I reflect throughout? I mean, my gosh, it's five acts. Why didn't I reflect after every act? But I didn't. So I would really encourage that. Give your students a chance. You know, have a page exit slip. Give them that time, 10 minutes at the end of class. Okay. We're focusing, you know, we focused on this last couple of days. How are you feeling about this technology? How did it work for you? Mm-hmm. Let's have that conversation. And it could be, again, an exit ticket on paper or just an opportunity for students to share their frustration out loud. Mm-hmm. And the other reason I think that's so vital is in doing that, they can communicate using the tech language that's necessary instead of saying things like, oh, I'm mad it didn't work. Okay. Well, right. All right. What is it that didn't work? And how can we be real clear on what didn't work? What strategies have you tried? That kind of thing. I really think that helps the communication of understanding that frustration. And the fact that when it does work, which it eventually will, the empowerment that our students feel, and to celebrate that empowerment. You know, when they're able to overcome that obstacle, we just don't do the pat on the back and say, oh, good job. No, we spend time on sharing and celebrating overcoming that obstacle.
And I think that's something that, you know, as people are listening today and they're thinking forward into their week or into the new, you know, the new calendar year, you know, and they are looking to recommit to something or try out something new, even just with their language choices or those small moments, I think can make such a big difference. Well, Peg, this was so useful and actionable for listeners. And I want to make sure that they can connect with you and learn more about your book, Ready to Learn. So where should they go if they want to stay connected?
Well, first of all, I'd love to hear from everybody. I'm at www.peggraffwallner.com. My book is available at Amazon. And of course, please connect with me. I'd love to come out and visit with you. I'd love to have a conversation going. And I really appreciated this, and this is wonderful. So thank you again so much. Oh, and they can find me on Twitter as well.
Yeah. Wonderful. And we will link out to all of those things so everyone can find you.
Great.
It was lots of fun chatting with Peg today and hearing her actionable tips that are ready for you to try out and put into action. Let's finish up this episode with a few of the key points we talked about with the strategies she shared around productive struggle. Create a vigorous learning intention. Scaffold success criteria. Eliminate the word failure. Be transparent, give students time to be successful, and provide spaces that cultivate success. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode, including all the ways to connect with Peg Graffwallner, at classtechtips.com/podcast. This episode is sponsored by my Etsy store. Did you hear the news? I opened up an Etsy store full of printables this year. And if you're listening in the month of November, make sure to check out all of my Thanksgiving and fall activities, as well as some games for your classroom. You can print them out or use the PDF files alongside some of your favorite EdTech tools. Head to Etsy.com, ETSY.com, and search for Class Tech Tips, or use the link in the show notes and podcast description to explore the new items I've created. Thank you for tuning in to another Tuesday episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. This way, next week's episode will be waiting for you first thing on Tuesday morning. And if you want to share an idea from the episode with a friend or colleague, text, tweet, or post the link on your favorite social media platform. And of course, you can tag me at Class Tech Tips with any questions.